The gospel lesson for today is from the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there is not enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. At this time, I'm happy to introduce to you our guest preacher. Her name is Sharon Nesheim. She's a diaconal minister at Heart River Lutheran Church, which serves the community of YCC, the Youth Correctional Facility in Mandan. I've actually known her for several years. We went to seminary together. She was a couple years ahead of me. She has a wonderful family, a great husband, 2 cute kids, and she does wonderful work at her church and in her ministry. And so we welcome her today as our speaker, and let's give her a round of applause as we welcome her.
What are you waiting for? Perhaps you're waiting for the next song to sing, if you're a lover of music. Perhaps you're waiting for more fellowship with these lovely friends that you have at church today, after worship. Maybe you're counting down the minutes for Sunday noon football. Maybe you're waiting for test results from a doctor. Maybe you're waiting to hear if you got into a college or your ACT test scores. Maybe you're waiting for your toddler's tooth to pop in, because we know how agonizing that can be. Hey, you know, there's only 45 days left until Christmas. Maybe you despise getting your oil changed and waiting for that to happen. And if you're a woman and you've been pregnant, those last 5 weeks are a lot of waiting. Waiting can be so hard, right? The young people with whom I work at the North Dakota Youth Correctional Center, just across the river in Mandan, they are waiting. They're waiting to get out. They're waiting to find out where they're going next, what treatment they might need. Can they get their GED, get their diploma, to pass any requirements that they might need to be successful, like getting sober, dealing with their anger and their grief? They're waiting, waiting to see how their past affects their future and preparing themselves for a new future. If you can pull up the picture of our church, please. This is the Heart River Lutheran Church. It is smack dab on the middle of the North Dakota Youth Correctional Center campus. An unlikely site in the midst of a state institution is this beautiful country chapel. Sometimes the young people at YCC who are waiting end up at worship 2 times a week. 1 Catholic service on Tuesday evenings and then our Lutheran service on Sunday mornings. And you would not believe the amount of teenagers who come to worship. Out of the 80 or so, at any given point, there's about 80 kids on campus, ages 12 to 19. There can be 40 to 50 kids smack dab in the front rows of church. and they volunteer to come. They're not made to come. They simply come for different reasons. Can you go to the next shoe picture? You'll know who they are by the clothes that they wear. For teenagers, identity is a big deal, and so when they come, their only identity is wrapped up in their shoes. They wear scrubs and colored shirts, and that's why that picture is so important for you to see, because you know how important it is to tell people who you are. Anyways, so these young people come from unchurched backgrounds, and yet they come. And they come to sing and to worship. They even lead worship by reading scripture, ushering, and serving communion. And sometimes they serve communion to their guards. It is so powerful. Some come just to simply get out of their cottage and pass the time while they wait. No matter what you're waiting for, or whether they're a YCC person or a person like you sitting in a pew today, even our bridesmaids that we read about are waiting. And you know, they fell asleep. Waiting can be so boring and sometimes hard. And waiting is something we normally just don't actually enjoy. We're in this culture, this instantaneous culture. We want status updates and Jimmy John's speedy delivery as fast as possible. But what if in this mundane task of waiting, we can see it as an opportunity? I think one of the things the gospel is telling us today is that it really, truly matters what we do while we wait. And perhaps we can become more intentional about being aware and prepared in our waiting. I'd like to tell you about Laura and June. June has been a long-term member of my church, Heart River. She is a nurse who works in the community. She's loving and caring and very passionate about people in need. Laura is a young girl who came to YCC with a painful past. She even said when she first came, "I hate God." She was so very hurt and questioning many things in her life. And yet, while she was waiting at YCC, she started coming to worship. And then Bible study. And she started asking questions. And then soon she found herself leading worship and singing and serving communion. And I just remember she started glowing. It was this marvelous change in her spirit. One day she asked Pastor Renee if she could be baptized. And Laura comes from the Seventh-day Adventist tradition, and she wanted a full submersion baptism. And we have a font just like yours, which isn't really great and useful for full submersion, is it? But after some preparation, some baptismal classes, and working with her family, we helped Laura get ready for her special day to be baptized in none other than the YCC swimming pool. We actually did want to baptize her in the Heart River, which is right by the church, but it was off the correctional facility grounds, and they wouldn't let us. So we asked her in this process who she wanted to be her baptismal sponsor. And she said, "You know that gray-haired lady who always comes to worship?" And then we were like, "Well, there's really that one person, the gray-haired lady, she's referred to as a lot, is June." So we said, "Is it June?" And she said, "Yeah, her." And picture this. June usually sits in the back left or back right. The Maple Cottage girls, the girl cottage, sits in the front left. And so we were like, what kind of interaction could they have had that was so meaningful that Laura wanted June to be her sponsor, right? Because they only saw each other during worship. And when we asked Laura, she said it was because of the sharing of the peace. because something special happened in that moment, that precious moment, when June gave a smile and a hug and shared Christ's peace with Laura every Sunday. And in those moments, they connected. And so, if you switch to the next picture, this is Laura and June. Laura was baptized in the name of the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. And we sang Amazing Grace in this chlorine-filled, echoey swimming pool. It was beautiful. So Laura, this was about a year ago. Laura now lives in Montana. And June, who lives in Mandan, sends her text messages and letters and sends her the sermon and bulletins from our church because Laura is struggling to find a church where she's at that she connects with. And so on Laura's baptismal birthday, we actually got to see Laura shortly after in October, and she told us that June had sent her a Bible with 80 verses underlined. And Laura exclaimed to us very excitedly, "They must really mean a lot to June." So I read every single one. This relationship birthed out of waiting. What God has put together through the sharing of the peace, this relationship for the past year has had its up and downs. Laura has not been without hardship and trials. Not even this amazing child of God can be protected from the worst things in the world. And she has really struggled. And yet she is making steps in a positive direction. And it is so remarkable about how God can work in that waiting and work in Laura's life and work in June's life, because God too is changing June through this process and in this relationship. So picture in your own life, what are you waiting for? Who is with you in your waiting? How is God using your waiting time to prepare you? While at YCC, June was attentive to Laura's deep sadness. June made an effort to greet her with Christ's message of peace and envelope her with a hug and a smile each week. And you know, you wouldn't think much of it, but those simple acts make all the difference. And Laura, even in her waiting and in her questions and doubts, she was alert. She was paying attention to how God was working on her and what the Spirit was nudging in her life through June, through the people of Heart River, through God's message and communion each Sunday. And so as we read this text from Matthew, how do we think about our waiting time? Not in this... I want to be the bridesmaids that are ready for the groom, right? But in the sense of how do we wait with one another and pay attention to how we prepare for Christ's coming? How are we attentive to God's work on our hearts in this time? Because you know what? When you're locked up, you have a lot of time to think, you know? And we can get so busy and distracted and thinking about what's coming ahead that we don't take time to be still and wait and think about what we're waiting for. How, like these YCC students, might we be waiting for a future with God? How do we as people of faith walk with others who are waiting for those test results for a biopsy or for their grief to take time and heal? Because you know what? These kids that we hear about today that I work with all the time, they're not that much different from you and I. They know what waiting is like. They know about untimely death in their own lives. They know about depression just like you, and anxiety and fear. And yet, just like you, they too have a future with hope. there is just way too much brokenness in the world, and I feel like I have to look them that brokenness in the eye each week. But brokenness like addiction or hunger or AIDS, it touches people in our life. And so we are called to wait. We are called to wait with the world for Christ to come and make it whole and good. So I ask you to think about, specifically because I do work with teenagers, I'm always thinking, like, how do I get people to think about walking with teenagers? And how do we wait with them in some of the most tumultuous years of their life? And one of the ways that we believe that this works with not just YCC kids, but with teenagers, is simply being present and having relationship with them, right? Relationship is key. And so part of what Bridges of Hope seeks to do is we work with these kids on campus, and then we pair them with mentors as they transition back into their communities so that they have relationship, so that they have the opportunity to not be so afraid to walk into a place like Trinity and attend worship. But you know, it does start small. It starts with a friendly conversation with the grocery store clerk. You know, maybe they were a YCC kid. You don't know. Maybe it's a simple handshake or a hug during the sharing of the peace with someone you don't know. Maybe we ask a confirmation student that we know what their faith story is. And maybe we share our faith story too. Maybe you do want to be a mentor with us in the Bridges of Hope process. And you know, if you can't commit to walking with a young person for like a year, we do this awesome thing where we go into their world, their cottage, every Thursday, and we play crazy rounds of ping pong and Monopoly and cribbage and pinochle. And it's great. It's so fun. And they say, you know what they say to us? Why would you come here and be with me when you could be home with your family? And we tell them, everyone tells them, because you're worth it and you mean something to me. Anyways, think about your waiting. Think about what you do in your waiting, who you're with in your waiting. And let this text from Matthew be your alarm clock. It is for me. And even though alarm clocks aren't my favorite thing, it calls our attention to the complacency in our life. And it demands us to be more alert to the needs of people around us. It calls us to be prepared for the opportunities before us and aware of how God might be using us and those in our life to bring Christ's presence into the world here and now. Thanks be to God.